have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I'm a reader, bless your name, Jesus.
Lord, I just want to say thank you for sending your son down to die for my sin. Even though I messed up, can I get it wrong? You love me unconditionally. So here I am, all I have is you. A sinner saved by grace, but is that really true? Cause I'm still feeling love for what I used to do. And I don't feel it change, but my heart yearns for you. I don't feel complete, even when it's going right. When I'm missing you, Lord, please come into my life. Loving you the real test, not to love you to get blessed. And yes, I know that you the best. So here I am to worship, sacrifice my life so you can work it. How you see fit for your glory is worth it. Everything else can take a backseat. Running to your throne for your mercy like a track meet. Why you have to ask me? I don't understand. Without you, Lord, how can I be a real man? I ain't gon' try. I give you all of me, Lord, and ride till I die. Put my knees to the floor.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether
me. Still to this day, it feel make-believe. Why would you save me? I stoned you to death. I made you bleed on your cross to your last breath. Lord, was I really worth it? Cause apart from you, my life is all worthless. Ain't no point in working, cause it's all in vain. Without a real purpose, I really need to change. I don't know how, it's amazing that you even called me. Lord, I'm in awe, see my struggle still haunt me. Random women every night, just to feel wanted. To feel like a man, cause my daddy didn't want me. Had a past pain, addicted to Mary Jane. Father on cocaine, money down the drain. Baby mama drama, got me going insane. I know I've been redeemed, but
here
I don't feel
I
a change.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'm paying homage to your Father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I could walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it. An addict on any level for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burnt my flesh to ashes so I could walk with you. Your love is unconditional. So even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong. I fail plenty times. But I get back up and I ride your son lift and die for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight. God inside you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight. All my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, God. And altogether worthy, God. And altogether wonderful. So wonderful to me.
Glory to God. To God be the glory. Well, it's once more and again with you. And for his glory. Well, we're here again with the Lord, of course. Our beautiful, beautiful producer, Kimmy Kim. We thank God for you all at the Relation Radio for his glory. We thank God for another opportunity to be here. And again, we thank you all for being here and listening to us. Tonight we're here, and I just had this this sermon that God had laid on my heart Sunday, and I feel worth reiterating the message that came forth on Sunday. For the simple fact that, you know, I keep hearing different people make certain comments. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like there's a lot of different people making certain comments, and they got the mindset that, you know, the church is dead and there's no power in the church and all kind of stuff. But God has really just been dealing with me about it and having me come back to reiterate that there's no weakness in the church. God has not lost his power. There's still power in the church. There's still bombingillium, as the scriptures say. And we're just here to reiterate that. So if you're listening today, I think that some things will refresh in your memory. It will encourage you and strengthen you. And just letting you know that God hasn't changed. God has not changed. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do. We'll start off tonight in Acts the 10th chapter in the 38th verse. But before we do that, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us again this day to share and break the bread of life. We thank you, Lord God, for life, health, and strength, and how you kept us, or is keeping us, still wrapped in our right frame of mind. We thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost is still present. He's still bringing all things back to our remembrance. And we thank you, Lord God, because you are God. And as the word says, you change not. So we thank you, Father, for all of that and all that you are. In Jesus' name, we pray that words will fall on your word, this word, will fall on great ground, good ground. And we thank you, Lord God, that it will produce fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Again, as I said, we'll open up at the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and the 38th verse. Let's notice that Acts 10, 38, Acts 10, 38. When we look at this particular verse, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Let's note that it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It came directly from God. The anointing that was on Jesus' life, it came directly directly from God. Let's go a little deeper. Because not only was he anointed by God, he was God reincarnated in the flesh, as we would say, because he was part of Mary and he was part of God himself. So not only was he anointed of God, he was actually God in the flesh as well. So he had power, and he was of Nazareth. Now, notice, you know, the scripture talks a lot of times, when we saw it a lot of times, that he was anointed by God. And let's bring it further a little bit home, closer to home, because if you have been born again, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you too have been anointed by God. You can't accredit this power, this anointing, this call in your life. You can't say mom did it. You can't say daddy did it. You can't say, no, well, they may have prayed for this. They may have had some influence some kind of way, you know, through God. But once God anoints you, it can't be changed. No one can take that away from you. God did it. Now, notice how I say Jesus of Nazareth. It doesn't matter where you're from, what part of the woods you're from. It doesn't matter if you're born with a wooden spoon, a gold spoon, or a silver spoon. It doesn't matter what class or what society or what statue or status you are in. God picks and chooses whom he will to put his anointing on in our lives. And it doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter, as the scriptures say, from Nazareth. You know, when they find out that Jesus is or was the Messiah, and he was going about doing good, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil, the naysayers were still running around talking about, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? Think about it. Some people may look at you and think, or may wonder, is there anything good about you because of where you're born, because of where you have been raised? But I'm here to tell you tonight, if God has anointed you, it doesn't matter what your status is. God did it. And if God did it, then it just can't. It just don't go away. It's not diminished. It's not diminished. And my subject actually is that, you know, there is no dysfunctions. There is no dysfunctions when it comes to Christ. Now, it may be some dysfunctions in the church, but that's because that's part of us. That's part of man. That's because and I get into that a little bit later, but that's because of who we are, who choose not to follow the instructions that God has given us to us. But it says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What about doing good? Notice, it didn't say what about doing bad. God did not anoint him so that he can go about doing evil or doing hurt or doing harm. He was anointed for the purpose to do good, to bring good, to bring affection, and to bring glory to the name of his Father, his Heavenly Father. And he said he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about healing all. You may want to underline the word all, because see, with the word all, it includes you and it includes me. He was anointed to heal all of us of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to remember, he was anointed to heal all who was oppressed of the devil. I think sometimes we think the church lost its power because we feel like he was anointed for everybody else that we read about himself up. No, he was anointed for all who was oppressed by the devil. He was anointed for them, and he's anointed for you. And I said it was, but it's not like was, you know, past tense, but he's still that same God. He's still that same Messiah. He's still that same deliverer. He's still that same healer. He's still that same lawyer. He's the same. But Brian, why did you say that? I'm glad you asked. Hebrews 13:8. Simple question. Not simple question. Simple verse. One that we're related to, is one that we can relate to, is one that that we remember we can repeat it verbatim. That's it. Off the top of our head. It said Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. If he was anointed yesterday for those who was around yesterday, he healed those yesterday who was oppressed of the devil, he's still around today and forever. Oh yeah, I know the word says he's in heaven, and we know that he's at the right hand of the Father, and the word says he's making intercession for the saints. But he also said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send to you the Holy Spirit, who will lead you, guide you, and to bring you and teach you all truths. So we have that. We have the third person, what we call the Trinity. And I don't know why we call them third person, because they're all three are one. But we do, I've heard a lot of people refer to them as the third person of the Godhead. But actually, all three are one. In fact, you know, the Holy Spirit is very important. And a lot of people, I've heard a lot of different people come out kind of crazy nonsense concerning the Holy Spirit, but he's not to be taken lightly. And the reason I said that is because of particular passages of scripture where Jesus is saying to the people, every manner of sin that a man commits can be forgiven. He said, if you blaspheme against the Father, that can be forgiven. He said, and if you blaspheme against the Son, that too can be forgiven. He said, but blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. And you cannot be forgiven for that in this world nor the world to come. Now, the reason that is because the Holy Spirit is what manifests the blessings of the things from the spiritual realm into the natural realm, to let you know that whatever you have received from God was of God. Amen. So I want to use that to say that we really shouldn't be referring to the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. It says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he was doing yesterday, he's still doing it today. Whatever healing you needed or whatever healing they needed back then, they still can get it today. Whatever healing they needed back then, whatever they needed, yeah, it's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's done for all. It's done for all. The problem is that we don't know, or we have come to a place that, in a lot of cases, we really don't know who it is we really are in God. In a lot of cases, we don't really realize or understand what power it is that we do actually possess by being a child of God. The Word tells us that even in the very beginning, as many of those who called on him, as many of those who became the sons and the daughters of Christ, gave him power to become the sons of God. The minute we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, in that alone, we receive power to become the sons and daughters of God. Even in that alone, and that's talking even before we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like I said, I don't understand where people are getting this thing from. I don't know if it's because of whatever took place in COVID, but healing is still taking place. Deliverance is still taking place. God is still saying yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, some of us wouldn't have made it through this pandemic if it had not have been for God. If it had not have been for God, a lot of us wouldn't have made it. There's no way. A lot of us wouldn't have made it. A lot of us would not have made it. And God has just gotten me to a place where he brought something to my memories and brought something to actually it was a piece of revelation that we heard a lot. We just didn't exercise it as a part of our faith. But even in there is an answer in the Word of God for everything that actually takes place concerning his children. I read it 1,001 times that no pestilence or no plague cannot come nigh me nor my dwelling place in Psalms 91. But didn't even know that was referring to that's what it was that we were going through, the pandemic of plague. And then He started dealing with me, telling me, decree this thing, speak this thing. The power of life and death is in your mouth. Decree this. Speak it. It'll work if you work it. So, you know, that was, you know, one of the biggest things that during that time God would have me constantly decree from time to time. Not only that, he said, whatever we bind on earth, he'll bind it in heaven. But so many of us, if you said that, they look at you like you had 15 heads. Like, you know, you just will believe that. Yes, I'm going to believe that. This whole foundation of the world itself was built on his word. Why not believe it? If I'm not going to believe it, then why, come on now. Why even claim to be saved if you're not going to believe it? And see, the problem is we don't, a lot of us don't or have not come to the place that we will take the Word of God as a whole. And because of that, we start not expecting the things of God or a move of God. Let me go a little bit farther. I'll try to explain to you what I'm saying. Matthew 13:58. And the scripture says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. 57 says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many works there because of their own unbelief. This was Jesus talking about his home people, his people from home, his people from Nazareth. He could not or did not do the miracles there that he did everywhere else because of the perception. The people could not perceive him as the Messiah. They could not perceive him as the healer. They could not perceive him as the deliverer. They could not perceive him as God's only begotten son. And because they could not, every time I start on that road, I get stopped. Because I keep saying they could not. No, they chose not to. Let me get that right. God keeps correcting me on that. They chose not to believe that he was the Messiah. They chose not to believe that he was God's only begotten son. They chose not to believe that he was the redeemer or the healer or the deliverer. And because they chose not to believe, their faith in him could not do. He could not do the many great works there. I mean, he couldn't do those works there that he's done everywhere else because of the people's unbelief. And that's where I'm going to say a good 90%, probably a good 90% of the church is right now. We'll read the word, we'll quote the word, but there's certain parts of the word we just will not accept. We will not receive it. And because we don't receive it, it brings shame and it weakens our faith. I started to say it diminishes the word, and I try to think, no, it don't, not the word, you can't diminish the word. But yet there is a scripture where Jesus himself, he even said that because of tradition, we will bring, or men have bring, the word of God to no effect. Bring the word to no effect. That is why God is doing, he's doing his thing, that like he's just driving, he just, thank you, God. He just downloading and bringing stuff back to my remembrance. That is why he was talking about how people stand on street corners and they continuously pray vain, repetitious prayers. That's a tradition. It has become a tradition. And because it is a tradition and they do it repetitiously, that's why Jesus said, don't do it repetitiously. He's like, they have their own reward. In other words, they're just doing it to be seen. And therefore, because they were just doing it to be seen and it's repetition and it's traditional, there's no power in it. Oh, my God. And because there's no power in it, there is no fruit from it. There is no evidence. My God. There is no evidence of power coming from them. That's why Paul said, I don't come to you with eloquence of speech. I don't come to you with these big swelling words, these educational words. He said, but I come to you in power and demonstration. Power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. So everything that Paul did, he was not doing it for any show. He was doing it for the glory of God, that, oh man, that man would be saved and that man could be healed and man could be delivered. It's not about a show. Hallelujah. It's not about a show. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Let's look at Revelations 22 and 19. Revelations 22 and 19. If any man should take away from the words of this book, words of the book of this prophecy, God should take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Talking about the whole Bible. If we take any of this thing out of the Bible, then our part should be taken away. That's how important this book is to us. But like I said, a lot of us have or do or have done or pick and choose. Some people call it cherry picking. To choose which part of the Bible we want to believe, which part of the Bible we want to stand on. That's why we have That's why we have so many different what we call denominations. Because you have a group of people who are taking certain parts of the Bible and place it here and they become Baptist. You got another part that becomes certain parts of the Bible and they become Methodist. And then you got another sector who's taking some of the scriptures and they become Presbyterian. And then you got the Catholic. And then you got, it's because And see, God wants us to believe this whole Bible as a whole. So I'm going to still say that there is no dysfunction when it comes to Christ. The dysfunctions or the dysfunction in the body is because the body of Christ has not yet aligned itself up to what God is. Is saved. Like I said, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. Excuse me. Please, forgive me. Excuse me again. Jesus is making intercession for the saints. He gave back to us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 4:12 says, henceforth. Did I say that right? Did I do that right? No. Yes. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, the problem is that when we look at today's church, most of us only are functioning with pastors and teachers. You may see some who have accepted the evangelist. The evangelist is the one that really is the one that goes out on outreach missions. They go from place to place. We used to see it a little bit, a whole lot more back in the day with one of the greatest evangelists there is. I know his name is just trying to leave my Billy Graham. But we used to see the Tent Movement, Oral Roberts, some of those great men of God, and because they were like evangelists, and some moved about, a lot of them had great signs and wonders that were following them, like I said, R. Roberts, head of Hill Ministry. I think somebody else, Leroy Jenkins, he had a healing ministry. A lot of those, they were more like evangelists. They traveled and they went from place to place. Some you might as well say, they were more like evangelists. More like evangelists. Now you could probably say that Oral Roberts went on more so in the line of an apostle because he actually built the founded not only a church but a university. So, but the thing about it is that in most cases, in a lot of cases, most churches are only familiar with pastors, and that's just here recently, last few years, because I said years, should have said decades, because for a long time when I was coming up, we didn't hear the word such as pastor. We always heard Reba, you know, R-E-V or R-E-B. That's all we got. And that was actually unbiblical. That was not biblical. It said God gave unto the church some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So this is what I'm saying. Because of the perceptions of the people in some cases, we're not seeing the benefits or the healing or the deliverance that we should be seeing in a lot of the churches. Because a lot of us don't want to see the pastor. Or we see the pastor, we'll see the Sunday school teacher, but we don't want to see or acknowledge an evangelist. If we will, we will. But then maybe in some cases they'll accept the evangelist, some will accept the pastor, some or acknowledge the teacher, but they will not acknowledge prophets or apostles. And because we choose not to perceive, just like they didn't perceive or they chose not to see Jesus as the Lord, or they didn't want to see him as the Messiah, or they didn't want to see him as the healer, or they didn't want to see him as, because they could not receive him as to who he was in the body of Christ, they went lacking. They could not receive the blessings of God because they did not honor what God, they did not honor what God. If God put someone in the body, in a particular office in the body, he put them in that office for a reason. And that reason is that they should function in that office. But if they can function in it, but if you don't see them as for who they are in that office, even if they speak a word of the Lord into your life, but if you cannot recognize who they are, it may or it may not come according to your faith, because the word said, because they chose not to believe or because of their unbelief, the miracle didn't come to pass. The miracle did not come to pass. That's one of the dysfunctions of the church. Another dysfunction that I believe may be taking place is that a lot of times we, again, like I said, the power of life and death is in the tongue. A lot of times we get sick, we have this, we have that going on with our body. A lot of times we're asking God for a healing. And healing does take place. Healing does come. The thing about it is that most of the church is not looking for healers. Most of the church are saying, oh, I wish church was like it was back in that stuff. And we're praying for healing, but what we're really looking for is a miracle. And he said, Brian, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. The thing is that miracles are instant. They're instantaneous. Miracles happen right then on the spot. But if you're asking for a healing, your healing is going to take a progress. Healing takes time. Healing is a progress. It's progressive. So a lot of times when we're expecting to see a miracle in church, we're saying, heal such and such, so heal this, heal that. And God is healing it, but the thing about it is, because we're asking for a healing, it's going to take time. Instead of proclaiming that they already healed, by your stripes, they were healed, they are healed, and expecting a miracle, and expecting a miracle, instead of a healing. So basically what I'm saying is not that the power of the Holy One is gone or diminished or lacked. It's that we haven't lined up ourselves. We haven't lined ourselves up. We haven't become aligned or adjacent to what the Word of God is saying. And because we have not done that and exercised our faith in that, it seems as though it's not there or never going to come. But I'm here to tell you, it's here. Everything that God for the church, everything that we needed, everything that we needed is already here. It's just a matter of us tapping into it. It's just a matter of us taking it into it. I wrote down here before because just as an analogy, and I don't want to really say, you know, refer to it as a dog, but let's take a dog, and let's say God has given a dog four legs. If the dog takes off running to go from point A to point B, he's going to get there fast. He's going to get there fast. He's going to get there fast. However, let's say one of his paws or one of his legs is hurt. One of those parts has this dysfunction. Now, he will get there, but he may not get there as fast as he would if he had all four legs. And that's what God told us about in Christ. We got what it takes for us to get there, but because our faith won't, or we have not allowed ourselves to line up what the Word of God is saying or has said to us, it takes a while. The healing that you expect, and sometimes because it might take a while, some people just throw their hat in on whatever it is they're forgiving, you know, asking God for us, well, it ain't going to work, and they just gave up. I understand that some, you know, things and some trials that some people go through, some just get tired. And some choose to transition out. I see somebody say, oh, no, I don't know about it. Paul talked about it. Paul talked about, you know, he felt like he was between a hard place and a rock. You know, he said if he goes to be with the Lord, all this revelation and all this knowledge and everything he has, it goes with him to be with the Lord. But for the church state, because he still wanted to get, sometimes he refers to the gospel as his gospel. Sometimes because he still wanted to get his gospel out, he chose to stay longer, which means I really feel like Paul, at any time when he wanted to, there may have been some things going on in Paul that he could have chose to go ahead and be with the Lord. But yeah, whatever it is we need, whatever healing, whatever fish, whatever it is we need, God has already made provisions for us. He's already made provision for us through his Son, by his Holy Spirit, through his word, God has already made provision for us. It's just a matter of do we want to receive the word? Do we want to believe the word? Do we want to apply the word? Do we want to walk in the word? Because in the word, there's life and death. And Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We can be, we will be, we shall be, we shall have this life, and we shall have this life more abundantly in Jesus' name. So with that, I'll ask for those who may be listening by ear, if you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you don't know, let's say you don't even know if it's true or not, if it's real or not, all you know is that you've heard about Jesus, and you heard that he's the Messiah, you heard that, you know, through him there is eternal life. I'd like to give to you the invitation tonight to find out whether or not it is true. I'm here as a living witness. I know it's true. I walked around for years in that same condition, heard about it, thought about it, but didn't know about it. It's not to the volume as to what I know now. But if you don't want to risk going to a devil's hell. See, the hell that does exist was not created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. People go there because of their unbelief, because they choose not to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you want to find out if this Jesus is real, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a son. I believe that you gave your only begotten son, Jesus, I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that on the third day, you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. And I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And your word said if I confess it with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. So if you confess this with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, just thank God. Just repeat after me. Thank you, Father, for coming into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And thank you, Jesus, for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now if you said that, admit that, to believe that, and if you would like more prayer, you can contact me through Facebook. You can contact me through Instagram. And you can contact me through Snapchat. Brian Blassingame, B-R-Y-A-N, Blassingame, B-L-A-S-S-I-N-G-A-M-E. And I'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. We'll pray that you find a good, sound church, one that you can grow in, one that you can blossom in, and one that you too, at God's appointed time, can lead others to Christ. So until then, we thank God for you. We bless God for you. Kimmy Kim, we love you. We love the Lord. And we're just going to ask you to take us out with God in Jesus' name. And remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. Again, I'm Apostle Ryan Blassingame with my producer, Kimmy Kim. We thank you. We love you. And good night. Kimmy Kim, check us out, please.
My sinful ways have caused you so much pain. Doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Question.
Your face, Lord.
Lord, change